Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. It says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state. Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. It says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fast on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Young, like a new moon rising, fear.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can! Yes, we can!
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild. Like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed. But you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately 874 days, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Ay-yi-yi. 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 51 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. I don't know how we're going to make it, but we're going to make it. Why? Because we're America and we're strong. We're not weak. Like this administration is. I don't care. This administration does not represent America, and it most goddamn certainly does not represent me. Absolutely not. I don't know what the hell happened to this country. I don't know where it went. It's right here as far as I know. It's right here in me. And I'm pounding my chest right here at my heart. That's where America is. I don't know where this president thinks America is, but where America is right here within us. Well, until we finally get rid of this guy, and I vote for impeachment, and I vote for impeachment not because, well, he's a Democrat and he's a liberal and I'm not, none of that. No, these are crimes. These are crimes. When you aid and abet the enemy, that's a crime. That's called treason. There is no way that this president deserves to be paid for the rest of his life from the American taxpayer. After what he has done to this country, what he's actually doing to the world, and he wants to get paid for the rest of his life, what are you, nuts? Absolutely not. Well, until we finally get rid of this son of a bitch, we must remain dedicated to the fight and preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap. So what? Nothing's cheap in this world. You gone to the supermarket lately? Look at the price of beef. Look at the price of chicken. Look at the price of anything. Nothing's cheap. But freedom, we can afford it. Tyranny cannot afford it. Too expensive. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978. You know it as well as I do. As long as there's one liberal on planet Earth, that's all it takes is one. Well, it's a very, very, very busy news day tonight. Well, let me tell you something. I don't even know where to begin tonight. I have no idea where to begin. I have so much to talk about tonight, and I never shut up. So I don't know what the hell we're even going to get into tonight. So let's lift our jib and get our freedom shipping away. Yeah, there we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. All right, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, again, I can't leave these families alone. Flat refuse. I will not leave these families alone until they're home, until they're all together. And neither should you. You shouldn't leave these families alone either. Michelle and Isaiah Ryder are still asking for your support. They had a nice, this was a couple of days ago, I got a picture. I got a picture of them. It was on Facebook of the mother and Isaiah. And I took a look at this picture, and I seen the mother who had the realization. I seen it in her eyes. I seen the mother who was happy to see her son, but I also seen a woman who knew what was going on. And then I seen the smile on this kid's face, and I swear to God, I couldn't believe it. I thought to myself, after what they're doing to this kid? Now, look, this kid is 16 years old. Of course, he's going to have the cheesiest of cheesy grins on his face because he's finally going to see his mother. But for this kid to be in that kind of a mood shows his strength. It really, really shows his strength. And Isaiah, you're strong. They're weak. Bullies. Bullies are weak. Bullies are cowards. Cowards are weak. They're weak. You're strong. You stay strong, kid. We're going to get you home. I don't know how the hell we're going to do it, but we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep protesting. We're going to keep bitching, pissing, and moaning until you are home. We need to do this to a lot of other people, too. There's thousands of these families. Not just Justina Pelletier and Isaiah Ryder. Okay, that's two. Two out of thousands. Tens of thousands. God forbid if it's hundreds of thousands or even in the millions. But we don't know. We don't know the number. And this has been going on since the 80s. So how many of these families have been torn apart? And why haven't we been hearing about this? Why has it only been since Justina Pelletier that we started hearing about this? Why is that? Why is that? Well, I don't know, unless it's lazy. That's the problem with this country. Right there, laziness. Nobody wants to get off the couch. Nobody wants to put down the bag of Cheetos and turn off that godforsaken Kim Kardashian. Because if they do, they might have to do something. They might have to go to work. They might have to roll up their sleeves. They might have to sweat. Yeah, that's right. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to give up some time. It's all right. It's not going to hurt you. Look, if you want your freedom, you're going to have to fight for it. Which means you're going to have to step on some toes. You're going to have to piss some people off. And let me tell you something. I've been pissing some people off lately. Let me tell you. Oh, baby, have I been pissing people off. And you know what? I put a lot of my stuff on YouTube. So I'll take a segment here and there, and I'll put it on YouTube. Well, I did a segment last week on, what was it this week? I can't even remember. I mean, one day, one week anymore, I can't even remember. It's all the same crap. But I put a segment on that bistro. I think it could have been Monday. It could have been Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was. I think it was last week. It doesn't really matter. The whole point is it was up about that bistro up in Vermont that they put up a sign that says stop for sneakers bacon. Well, a Muslim complained about it. Didn't like it. No, you can't do that. You can't put bacon on a sign. I go by and I read the word bacon and I'm offended. Well, you must take the sign down. Well, this bistro owner took the sign down because somebody complained. Well, then I got a hold of this story, and I complained. Well, let me tell you, the outrage I got from a couple of people, because I dared to get angry at this. Well, let me tell you something. These people are the enemy. And yeah, I do get angry at the enemy. There's nothing wrong with it. Why should, and I got angry at the bistro owner, and I'm still angry. You do not cower to the enemy. I don't care. You do not cower to the enemy. Well, there's a person, I don't know what her stupid name is, but she's really mad at me. And you know what? When I hear stuff like that and I see stuff like that, you know what that tells me? To me, that's a report card. I get an A+. Because if I'm going to piss somebody off to the point where they're going to write the, I mean, she doesn't just write a couple of things. I mean, she has to write a novel. Like, I'm going to sit here and read your dribble? I mean, sweetheart, you're ignorant. You're stupid. You're nonsensical. You didn't listen to a single friggin' word that I said. Nothing. You heard what you wanted, then assumed and accused the rest. And she got mad at me because I was angry. Well, yeah, I am angry. You're damn right I'm angry. And I'm going to continue to be angry. Look, it's simple human psychology. Human beings cannot get anything done until you get angry. Well, America's not at rock bottom yet. We're not ready to be angry yet. I'm angry. I'm there. I've been there for a long time. But the most of the country, we're not there yet. We haven't. It's like a drug addict, like a heroin addict, cocaine addict. They haven't hit rock bottom. They got to hit rock bottom. Well, we haven't hit rock bottom yet. I've been at rock bottom for a long time, and I'm sure most of you out there have been at rock bottom because you're smart. You're able to see. You're able to hear. You're able to know. So you can see what's going on. These people can't. Liberals can't. Liberals are not at rock bottom yet. They have to hit rock bottom. But we're never going to get anything done until we get angry. And being angry doesn't mean that you got to go around hitting people over the head with pipes. It doesn't mean that you got to go shooting people. It doesn't mean you got to kill them and injure them. It means you have to get angry, which means you have to stop putting up with things that you should not have to put up with. You do not have to be patient with this crap. You do not have to be patient with this. This radical Islam, you don't have to be patient with that. You don't understanding? Understanding? No. Why don't they understand us? They come over to our country, most of them illegally. Even if they are illegal or legal, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that they're over here. They don't take the time to learn our culture, learn our history. They just expect us to kowtow to them and change our entire way of life for them because they don't like bacon. Well, I love bacon. I can't get enough bacon. I can eat bacon all day long, every day. And for you, you bistro owner, you sneakers bistro owner, you jerk, you coward, you punk. You don't kowtow to the enemy. And if you're not brave enough to stand up and tell these people to go kiss your ass, you deserve to go out of business. You deserve to go bankrupt. You deserve to go into debt. I don't feel sorry for you. You get nothing from me. No respect. You get no sympathy. You get nothing from me. I don't feel sorry for these people. None at all. So when someone's going to get upset with me because I get angry at the enemy? Okay, fine. That tells me I'm doing my job. I get an A+ for that. So I feel pretty good. So you go ahead and you keep writing your stupid little comments on my YouTube account. You go right on ahead, sweetheart. I really don't give a damn. You're an idiot. So why should I give a damn what the hell you have to say? I'm going to get up. I'm going to take offense to you. I can't take offense to you because you're too stupid. I'm just sick and tired of this crap. I want to know what the hell happened to my country. I want to know what the hell happened to America. Where is she? Honey, you seen America anywhere? Ah, of course she hasn't. She's an idiot. Ah, go back to your stupid couch. Watch your Kim Kardashian. Yeah, here's another bag of Cheetos. Shove that down your fat gullet, see if you can gain another 5 pounds. Then you'll never get off the couch. You'd be so fat. This is the problem with this country. It's lazy. Absolute lazy. Oh, I don't want to offend. You don't want to offend? Well, what about them? Isn't that offensive? You put up a sign on your property. Your property. Your business. It says, stop for bacon. Stop for bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? And then somebody comes up and says, that sign's offensive to me, you must take it down, and then you do? I'm supposed to respect that? I can't respect that. I can't respect that bistro owner. A sneakers bistro owner in Vermont. I don't know what the hell's going on with Vermont, but this woman over here, this is how stupid she is. I made the comment about them being so socialist. Well, she says, we're not socialists, we're capitalists. Well, we're not talking about our economy, you idiot. We're talking about the government. We're not a capitalist government. We are a republic, a representative republic. Maybe if you paid attention in school, or maybe if your teachers in Vermont were actually educated, they could have educated you. But it's clearly obvious that your educators were not educated. That's why you are not educated. Either that or you just simply didn't pay attention. I don't know. I don't know what the hell the problem is with these people. But I'm not gonna show any respect for these people. I'm not going to show any understanding. How come they don't show any respect and understanding for us and for our culture? This is America. Look, you don't like it, you can go in any direction. Any direction that you move is on the way out. I suggest you get trucking. You don't tell me, you don't come over to my country and tell me that I've got to change my entire way of life to please you. How about if I go over to your country and tell you to change things and start eating bacon and stop cutting people's heads off and allow women to show their ankles and their elbows and allow them to drive. And all these people, there's a lot of liberals, a lot of women liberals over here. They're supporting these people, and they have no idea what they're supporting. The reason why they support these people is because the people on the right don't. This is how screwed up liberalism is. This is how screwed up these liberals are. It doesn't matter what the right says. It doesn't matter what the right says. They're just going to argue. So they just argue just for the sake of arguing. Whatever the right says, they're going to argue. Well, they have no idea what they're arguing. They have no idea what they're actually supporting. Well, you go ahead and you support these terrorist groups. Knock yourself out. You go ahead and you support Hamas because Israel is, you know, Israel is such a bad country. You know, I mean, Israel, they're the terrorists. Yeah. Well, you go ahead and you support these Hamases and Al-Qaedas and ISIS and all these other people. You go ahead and you support this Islam crap. You go ahead and you support it. See how far that gets you. Now, again, there, you know, and I know a lot of people don't like to believe me, but it is true. There are Muslims out there that are just simply not, they're not terrorists. They don't like it. They don't want to be terrorists. They're just Muslim. But the problem is we don't get to see these people. We only see the bad. That's all we see, and the bad is bigger than the good. There's more bad than there is good. So it's unfortunate that the good ones have to be linked in with the bad ones. And that, is it wrong? Well, I mean, I don't know. But I think, in all honesty, the good Muslims, they're going to have to be the ones to stand up. They're going to have to be the ones to lead the way to put an end to this radical Islam. If the good Muslims aren't going to stand up, we're never going to win this war. We can bomb the living shit out of these people forever, and it's still not going to put an end to it. We need the Muslim community to stand up, to actually help us, to lead the way to put an end to this. But where are they? We got a few of them. There are a few of them. There are a few of them out there. And I say a few because that's all there are, is a few. But there are a few. But we're going to need the big boys. We're going to need the big boys to stand up and say enough is enough. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to stand up and fight. I guess it's too hard. Huh? It's too hard to fight for your freedom? No, it ain't. You stand up and you say, no, I'm not going to accept that. If you can't stand up and say, no, I'm not going to accept that, well, then you deserve it. I don't feel sorry for you. Unbelievable. Oh, my God. Now I'm digressing like frickin' crazy. We're never going to get through tonight, but that's all right. I want to start the show here tonight with a clip from the president. I was going to play this last night, and I do apologize. It wasn't my fault. They were doing a lot of work inside the place here last night. They were shutting the power on and off all friggin' night last night, pissing me off. There was nothing I could do. I wasn't going to about to start the show and then have the power go on and off all the time. That was ridiculous. So I lost the show. There's nothing I can do about it, nothing you can do about it, nothing anybody can do about it. It's over with. We're here, we're now. That's it. So we have a clip. This is our president. He's not a president. Presidents don't talk like this. Presidents don't act like this. He's not a president. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what the hell you would call him. What would you call him? I would call him an occupier. He's simply occupying the White House when he's there. More often than not, he's on vacation. He's occupying, I guess, the position of president. That's what he's doing. He's occupying the position of president. And he's getting paid quite handsomely to do absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing. Wouldn't it be nice to get, I don't know, what's his salary? $450,000 a year to do nothing? He doesn't have to pay for anything. That money's going straight to the bank. He doesn't give a damn. And when he gets out, he'll write a couple of books. He'll go on give speeches and whatnot. This is ridiculous. I say he needs to go, instead of going on a speaking tour, he needs to go on trial for treason. But we don't have a responsible Speaker of the House, so that's not going to happen. Our Speaker of the House is afraid. Oh, I don't want to press it too much. He's the first black president, and I don't want to look like a racist. You don't want to look like a racist? This isn't about race. Is Benghazi about race? Is it? Benghazi is about race. Let me see. We're going to facilitate Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram. You know those guys. They kidnap little boys and girls. We're going to facilitate them with our hands clean. We're completely in the background here. We're going to facilitate and make sure they get a whole bunch of really big weapons. And then when they attack us, because we're going to try to get the weapons back for whatever stupid reason, I mean, we don't really know what happened. And the reason we don't know what happened is because we have the most transparent administration in American political history. So we are left to guess. Not to know, but to guess. But if you have a brain and you can use it, you can pretty much put the dots together and figure out what the hell was going on. So when they attacked us, and the very moment that you went up and you found out that our embassy was on fire, our ambassador was gone missing, we were under mortar fire, machine gun fire, God only knows what was going on. The place was burning up. I don't know how many people were injured. There was more than four people that were killed. That's number one. We're never going to find out the total number. It doesn't really matter. There was one person killed. That's enough. But the very moment this man, our president, the occupier of the presidency, found out that our embassy was on fire, we were under attack. That's an act of war. The very moment that he found out that we were under attack, our embassy, our soil, what does he do? He goes upstairs and eats. Eats. He had to eat. This guy's always got to eat. He had to eat. How is that not being a deserter? What does that have to do with race? What the hell does that have to do with race? Being a deserter of your post, committing treason, what does that have to do with race, Mr. Boehner? Why can't you put that in your little lawsuit? Huh? How about Fast and Furious? What does Fast and Furious have to do about race? Oh, that's right. We did do something. That's right. We put the Attorney General in contempt, which means what? Well, it doesn't mean a damn thing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing, Mr. Boehner. So what have you actually done? What have you done, Mr. Boehner? What the hell have you done? I don't know you've done anything. I can't think of anything that you have actually done as Speaker of the House that you deserve to get an applause. Nothing. Nothing. How about the IRS? Is that about race? We can't criticize the president on the IRS? We can't criticize the president what he did with the stimulus package. How many dollars did he use again? What was that? It was what, 800 billion? 750 billion? 780? Well, that's almost $1 trillion. Where did that money go? Did that money go to shovel-ready jobs? That's right. There weren't any. Where did it go? Well, it went to, well, went to the unions. It went to his campaign donors. It went to all of his little buddies. It went to, well, these green companies that started up companies with no intention of conducting business. Their only intention was to strip and rape the American people from their dollars. Solyndra, and there was more than one Solyndra. There was a lot of them. A lot of them. Did the media report on them? Oh, well, we'd have to go out and investigate. We can't do that. It's too easy to talk about George Bush. How is that race? What does that have to do with race? The man ripped off the American people, $800 billion from the American people, and gave to his friends. The money was squandered, wasted, gone. It's in people's pockets. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who's got brand new cars, bigger swimming pools, got a new home. They got all kinds of stuff. Why isn't that in your little lawsuit, Mr. Boehner? Huh? Oh, we can't do that. Oh, it's the first black president. I don't give a damn it's the first black president. What does that mean? The first black president. What does that mean? I don't even understand what that even means. That makes absolutely no sense to me. We can't criticize the first black president, but we can criticize the second? I mean, well, what are they saying? They make no sense. None of them. Well, let's play this clip here. This is what I'm talking about. Where is our country? Who are we anymore? I am sick and tired of the cowardice in this country. I'm sick and tired of it from our leaders. And I am most goddamn sick and tired of it from our citizens. And that's why I got so upset about that Sneakers Bistro. These are citizens now cowering to the enemy. We don't do that. We're America. Since when has America ever cowered? When? Well, now. But why? We don't do that. We're America. We don't cower to anybody. Well, at least we used to not to. But now I guess we have to. I'm not. I refuse to cower to them. I'm not going to cower to these people. You should have had enough testicular fortitude to stand up and tell these people, you know what? You don't like my sign? Why don't you move out of the frickin' neighborhood? Or better yet, move out of the frickin' country. But you don't come up and tell me to take my sign down. God only knows if he's even still serving bacon. Well, there were some people in his neighborhood that were not too pleased with him, and they shouldn't be. Even from Vermont. I'm sorry, but Vermont, you're very socialist up in Vermont. You got two senators are very socialist. One of them, Bernie Sanders, is openly admitted he's a socialist. Patrick Leahy, I mean, if he's too stupid to even pronounce his own friggin' name, so God only knows what the hell he is. And then you've got one representative, and he's a jackass. I can't even remember his name. I know who he is when I see him. But he's a jerk just like the rest of them. Look, we got to figure this stuff out, guys. You know what I'm saying? We're America. We're the people of America. America is the people, not the government. Government is not America. The government is not America. The people are America. America is the people. We are the people, not the government. We, us, you, me, we are America, not our government. Our government does not represent me. I can tell you that right now. That does not represent me whatsoever. Now, I want you to listen to this president of ours. And I hate calling him a president. But, you know, for the conversation speaks, our conversation's sakes, we have to call him the president. But I want you to listen to this guy, Listen to what he has to say. And then we're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down. Word for word. Word for word. We're going to break this down. And this is who our president is. This is who this man is our leader. Think about this. Our leader. This man is the leader of what used to be the biggest superpower on planet Earth. Used to be. I say used to be because we're not anymore. We are not anymore. We are not a superpower anymore. We are not a superpower anymore. We can still be one. We can turn around. We can turn this ship around. We can do it. But we're going to have to do it. But this is the man who is occupying the presidency, who is out there talking to the world. Listen to this.
I have consulted with Congress throughout this process. I am confident that as Commander-in-Chief, I have the authorities to engage in the acts that we are conducting currently. As our strategy develops, we will continue to consult with Congress, and I do think that it'll be important for Congress to weigh in, and or that our consultations with Congress continue to develop so that the American people are part of the debate. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We don't have a strategy yet. I think what I've seen in some of the news reports suggests that folks are getting a little further ahead of where we're at than we currently are.
I mean, I swear to God, when I heard that the other day, I blasted off into Deep Space Nine. Could not believe that this is the President of the United States. The President of the United States of America. Remember when we used to be the United States of America, just saying the word America? First of all, the word America, it has that picture of being strong, strength, and power. Do we have that anymore? No. I want it back, and I'm tired of waiting for it. I want it, and I want it now. So here he goes to say, I have consulted with Congress throughout this process. Since when has this president ever consulted Congress? What the hell is he talking about? Consulted with Congress throughout this process? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Since when have you ever consulted with Congress? I thought you said Congress was inept. And you weren't going to wait for them. You were going to pull out your little magic pen and just start signing laws. What do you mean you're consulting with Congress? What does that mean? What does that mean? It means nothing. I am confident that as Commander-in-Chief, I have the authorities to engage in acts we are conducting currently? What? You blew up a truck. What did you do? You did not hinder ISIS at all. You have done nothing. I mean, what are you kidding me? What is that? I mean, is this a joke? It's not very funny. I'm not laughing over here. I mean, I'm laughing at you, but I'm not laughing with you because it's not funny. You have the authorities to engage in acts we are currently conducting? I mean, what? What are you doing? What are you doing? No, this campaign should be a 24/7 campaign until every one of these sons of bitches is dead. And I hate talking about that. I really do. I hate to go down this level. I hate to go down this road. I cannot stand talking about killing people. I don't want to talk about that. It pains me. It really does. I don't like talking about killing people. We don't need to kill people. But these people are not going to stop until they are killed. That's the reality. That's the reality. Now, yeah, we all know that, you know, killing is bad. And it is. Killing is bad. Having those thoughts in your head is bad. But look, this is self-defense. Sometimes in self-defense, you're going to have to do things that you normally would not do. But if you want to stay alive, you're going to have to do some things that you normally wouldn't do. Otherwise, well, you're going to be dead. And then what? Well, I guess if you're whatever. I'm not going to go down that road. Forget it. As our strategy develops, we continue to consult with Congress, and I think it's important to weigh in, and our consultation with Congress continue. He said Congress about 14,000 times. I guess he wants the American people to know that he's consulting with Congress, and he's not going to take out his magic pen and just start signing laws. He wants us to make us think like he's actually doing his job. Well, you're not. You haven't been doing your job since you got elected. And our consultation with the Congress to continue to develop so that the American people are a part of the debate? What? This isn't about the, I mean, if the American people are part of the debate, you know what the American people are saying? They're saying, bomb these bastards. And what are you doing? Well, you're golfing. You're golfing. What does that mean? What does that mean? You want the American people part of the debate? There's no debate. There is no debate. ISIS is a threat. The threat must be eliminated. There's no debate. What is there to debate? These people are here. They want to attack us. They do want to kill us, and I've got stories here tonight. They're here. They are planning an attack. In case anybody haven't been paying attention, but we've only got a couple of weeks till 9/11 again. 9/11 anniversary. There's a lot of chatter going on. You think for one second we're not going to be attacked? I live in New York. I'm not going anywhere in New York City. I can tell you that right now. I'm not going anywhere near New York City. Nowhere near New York City on 9/11. For one second that these people aren't going to attack. Let's just say that they don't. Okay, fine. Great. Maybe they might not get us on 9/11. Maybe it might be 9/12. It might be 9/10. I don't care. They're going to get us. At one point, they're going to get us. And there's only one way to stop them, and that is to stop them. And there's only one way to do that. And we got to kill them. I know it sucks. I hate talking about this. I'm not a killer. I'm not a killer. I don't like talking about killing. Nobody likes talking about killing people. It's ridiculous. But these people will kill us if we do not kill them. That is a reality. We have to accept it. We have to acknowledge it. And we have to do something about it. And then he goes on to say, oh, don't want to put the cart before the horse. What? Don't want to put the cart before the horse. Don't want to put the cart before the horse. What do you mean, like when you said the police acted stupidly? Or perhaps maybe it was when you said that ISIS was the JV squad? Is that what you mean by you don't want to put the cart before the horse? Because you've made so many mistakes where you have actually put the cart before the horse? And you don't want to make that same mistake again after the 900th time? What the hell would be the difference? We don't have a strategy. Of course you don't have a strategy. Imagine if George Bush would have said that we didn't have a strategy. Just like if George Bush would have said, yeah, well, we're going to go in and we're going to attack these people, but we don't have a strategy. Imagine what the media would have said about that. We don't have a strategy. So here this guy is. This is the president. President of the United States. The United States, which used to be the biggest superpower on planet Earth. No one was better than us. No one. And he's coming out and he's saying, you know what? You know what, world? We don't have a strategy because we don't know what the hell we're doing. So go ahead and continue your terror and we'll just sit back and golf until we figure out what the hell to do. In news reports, I've seen folks get further ahead than where we are. Well, where are we? What does he mean by that? I don't know what the hell he means by that. What the hell does he mean by that? I've seen folks get further ahead than where we are. What are you talking about? We're right here. ISIS is right here. These people want to kill us. What are you talking about, Mr. Regis? Blah, 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 blah. And then what does he do? He gets done with that speech. Guess what he does? Then he goes on another fundraising tour. That's right. He's in New York right now fundraising. He's coming home tonight. He wants to get a good night's sleep. He's in New York, and he's in Rhode Island fundraising. ISIS is out chopping heads off, and our president is out fundraising because he doesn't have a strategy. He doesn't know what the hell to do, so he might as well go fundraise. Fundraise? Look, I understand the Democrats, they need money. Okay, fine. I understand the stupid parties. I don't believe in parties, never have, never will. But we've got a lot of problems going on here, Mr. President. We don't have time for our leaders to go fundraise. We need you working. We need you coming up with a strategy. And you don't tell your enemy. If you don't have a strategy, you don't tell your enemy you don't have a strategy. Why would you do that? Why would you tell your enemy, I'm sorry, guys, but we don't have a strategy. We have no idea what the hell, how the hell to combat you. What do you think that's going to do to them? Do you think they're not listening to Obama? You think they're not listening to our media? They know exactly what he said. They know exactly what's going on. This is a perfect opportunity for him. Why would he say that? Why would anybody come out and tell the world, we don't have a strategy, we don't know what the hell to do? Why would you tell your enemy that? Why would you do that? I mean, it just seems to me that this man wants this country to be demolished. I don't see it any other way. I would love to see it some other way. I would love to see it another way. I would love to see the context in which he thinks this context is in. There's only one context. He is out to destroy this country. And then we want to give this guy a pension for the rest of his life and give him security? Where's our security? Where's the security of the border? Where's the American people's security? And we're supposed to give him security for the rest of his life? For what this man has done? Not only to our economy, to our way of life, our lives, period, our health care. What health care? What health care? Health care. Health care? Honey, you seen the health care anywhere? Ah, of course she hasn't. Nobody's seen it. We don't have it anymore. We used to. We used to have a lot of things in this country, but we lost it. Why? Because we got lazy. We saw a black man, and we didn't want to not vote for him because we didn't want anybody to think that we were racist. Well, I vote on the individual. I don't vote on the stupid color. And if that's all you're going to do is vote for a black man just because he's black, that's racist. I mean, this is just the ludicrous of the left. I mean, it's just, and it's nonstop. It's nonstop. Nonstop. But you can't tell them that. And if you do tell them that, well, then you're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're a misogynist. You're a hater. Well, if that makes me a homophobe, a hater, misogynist, and all these other terms, okay, fine, good, give it to me. Give me them titles. I'll take them. Fundraising. But, yeah, evidently he's supposed to be coming home tonight. Guess why? Guess why he's coming home tonight? He's got a very important wedding tomorrow. Very important. His personal chef is getting married to MSNBC's host, Alex Wagner. Now, that's an important wedding. Sergeant Tamaresi would like to get married sometime soon, I'm sure. Why don't you work on that for a while instead of fundraising and going to weddings? Why don't you work on getting this Marine home who went to battle for you, went to war for you, not once but twice? He killed for you, Mr. President. This man killed for you, and you can't even make a phone call? You got to golf? You got to fundraise? You got to go to weddings? You got to say, I don't have a strategy? You can't make a phone call? You got that magic phone of yours? Why can't you make a simple phone call? How long do you think that would take? What do you think, like, a real president would have done? Like, say, a Ronald Reagan. How long do you realistically think if Ronald Reagan was president? And I hate going back into time and bringing up Reagan. But I'm trying to make a point here of where America used to be and where we are now. And we have been slipping. We've been slipping for a long time. We've been slipping for a long, long time. And it's time that we go slip back. But how long do you realistically think that Sergeant Tamaresi would have been held in that Mexican jail if Ronald Reagan would have been president? About what, 5 minutes? Maybe six? This stupid White House spokesman, Josh Earnest, which I've had a buttful of this guy since his very first day. I don't like him. I don't trust him. I don't like being lied to. I really get offended when people lie to me. I hate that more than anything. I hate lies, and I hate liars. I hate that. Look, you need to tell somebody a little white lie? Okay. Fine. Fine. We can all deal with that. But the lies that we get from our government, these are not white lies. These are evil lies. These are bad lies. These are dangerous lies. And I'm sick and tired of it. They're offensive. Well, he says, well, he can sleep in his own bed, do a little work tomorrow, spend some time with his family. Now, wait a minute. This son of a bitch has been on vacation for over 2 weeks with his family. What do you mean he needs to come home and spend time with his family? What does that even mean? He's seen his family for 2 weeks. I got to take that back. Obama was golfing the whole 2 weeks. He didn't see his family on vacation. He was golfing. What was I thinking? I understand he needs to see his family. So he's got to take a break from all of his busy fundraising and go see his family. For what, 10 minutes? And then you're back to a wedding and then back to fundraising? I mean, why would this guy even come out and say this? How can these spokespeople come out and say this stuff? I'd like to know how they can live with themselves. I couldn't live with myself making up this crap. How do you live with yourself with that? I mean, doesn't that weigh on you? Just think if you had to go out and lie every single day of your life. You had to go out and lie to the whole country. You had to lie every single day, more than once, to the entire country. Don't you think that would weigh on you? Just think about it. Just think about it for a moment. I mean, when I tell a lie, even a little white lie, I still get, because I know I'm going to get caught, even though it's a white lie. And it's a lie to protect somebody, and it's a good lie, what you would consider a good lie. But I still feel that in there. This guy's out here, I mean, it's just like, it doesn't even affect him. I mean, do you even know that you're lying, Mr. Earnest? Do you have any idea that you're lying? Do you even know what you're saying? Obviously you don't. Well, the New York fundraisers are going to benefit the Democrat National Committee. Oh, they're... like they need more benefit. Well, they actually do because they're still trying to pay off their debt from 2012. How do you go into debt with this stuff? I'd like to know how these politicians go into debt with these campaigns. Me, personally, I think campaigns should not be allowed to go into debt. I don't think they should be allowed to go into debt. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The Rhode Island event is supposed to be benefiting the House Democrats. Like, the House Democrats, they need more benefit. They need fundraising. Well, that's because they're going to lose more seats. This is all about votes. This is ridiculous. Well, evidently, the Rhode Island event looks like Nancy Pelosi is supposed to be there with them. Well, who cares? Who cares? What the hell difference does that make? Why is it Nancy Pelosi? I'm just so sick and tired of them. I mean, this is garbage. This is stuff that we shouldn't be even talking about. But we have to talk about this crap. Where is our president? What is he doing? Why is he allowed to get away with this? Oh, that's right. He's the first black president. We can't criticize him. He's beyond reproach. Wait till the second black president comes into office. Boy, that son of a bitch is going to be, he's going to be in a world of hurt, isn't he? We can be able to criticize him, but not the first one. Well, this president is not all the way black. He's half white and half black. So I can criticize him because he's still half white, and I'm white. I don't even understand the stupid white-black crap, these stupid colors. What the hell difference does it make what your goddamn color is? If you're bad people, you're bad people. The color has nothing to do with it. You're either good people or you're bad people. The color has absolutely nothing to do with it. Your religion has nothing to do with it. Nothing has nothing to do with it. It's your heart and your mind. What you do. Your thoughts, words, and deeds. That's what makes you a bad person, not your color. Your thoughts, words, and deeds. That's what makes you a good person, not your color. The White House is insisting that the United States is not at war with the Islamic State. They got to make that clear. We're not at war with Islam. We're not at war with you. Please don't cut my head off. We're not at war with you. We want to be your friend. Well, I don't care what the White House says. I'm at war with you bastards. I don't want to be your friend. I don't like you. I don't trust you. I'm at war with you. You bastards are at war with me. Therefore, I have no choice to be at war with you. Why would our White House spokesperson come out and say, we're not at war with Islamic State? Well, why are we not at war with Islamic State? That's the question I have. Why are we not at war with these people? Why are we not at war with them? I mean, nobody likes war. I don't like war. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of that word war. I hate even saying the word. But my God, are you people awake? Is anybody in Washington, are they paying attention? I mean, don't they have TV and newspapers and magazines and that kind of stuff in Washington anymore? Is it all gone? CNN covers this stuff, and we know the president loves to watch CNN. It's where he gets his news from. We're not at war with the Islamic State. Really? Really? Then what are we? Huh? What the hell are we then? I know we're sending a couple of bombs over there. We blew up a couple of trucks. We blew up a this. We blew up a that. We're not really blowing anything up. We're not putting a dent in ISIS. We're not doing anything with these people. And then you have MSNBC host Chris Hayes. He asked White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest yesterday. This is what he says. This is the exact quote. Before getting into the strategy, which we don't have a strategy. The president already said we don't have a strategy. Remember what they said with George Bush? Where's the end game? Where's the end game? Where's the end game? What end game? Well, you have an end game? You don't have an end game. The president doesn't have an end game. Well, where's the media on this if we don't have a strategy? Huh? Where's the media on this? Because the president doesn't have a strategy. But with Bush, where's your end game? Oh, they don't have an end game. What kind of president are you? You don't have an end game. Well, here's the end game when you go to war. You defeat the other side. And you don't get the end game until they're all defeated. Until they either surrender or they're all dead. Now, that can take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It can take 10 years. It can take 20. There's no time stamp on war. I mean, this is how idiotic these people are. And we're supposed to believe that these liberals are so smart, so intelligent? I don't see one liberal intelligent. Intelligence does not simply mean having information. Intelligence means having accurate information. When was the last time you heard accurate information from a liberal? Exactly. Never. Well, this is what this idiotic Chris Hayes asked Josh Earnest. Before getting into the strategy, though there seems to be a fundamental existential question, is the United States presently at war with ISIS? Yes or no? No, Chris, he says. No, immediately, right off the bat. No. It should be, yeah, you damn skippy were at war with these bastards, because they're at war with us. No, Chris, what we are doing, now listen to this nonsense. I mean, this is beyond drivel. This is pathetic. This is embarrassing. Guy goes home to his wife and kids every night feeling good is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. I don't get it. I would be suicidal at this point if I had to go out there and lie like this every day. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go to sleep at night. I could not go to sleep at night with these kinds of lies. What we are doing is working very aggressively. Really? Very aggressively doing what? Fundraisers and vacations? Is that what you mean by aggressive? You blew up a truck? A truck? You've done nothing. You've done nothing. Nothing. What we are doing is we are working very aggressively with international partners. With who? What international partners? There isn't a single international partner out there. With Iraqi and Kurdish security forces. To take the steps necessary to mitigate the threat that's posed by ISIL. And this is another thing that I'd like to know. Why do they call it ISIL and everybody else call it ISIS? I know it means the same thing, but I'm wondering if by calling them ISIL, if that isn't more, because we know the president, he's very sympathetic towards these kinds of people. So I'm wondering if ISIL isn't like a more of a sign of respect than ISIS. I'm just wondering. I'm just speculating, completely speculating, off the charts, I know. Completely off the charts. That's me. But I'm just wondering. It just seems that way. Why does this administration call it ISIL and everybody else calls it ISIS? I just wonder why that is. It just seems to me that there is a reason for that. Now, I know what the L means in Levant or whatever the hell. Blah, 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 blah. They're terrorists. That's all that they are. And to mitigate the threat? What are you doing to mitigate the threat? You're not mitigating any threat. You're agitating the threat. You're making the threat bigger. We don't have a strategy, but we're going to mitigate the threat. How can you mitigate the threat with no strategy? I mean, doesn't anybody in this administration pay attention to each other? Do they talk to each other? Does anybody sit down and have a meeting with you? Does anybody know what the other person is saying? Obviously, they don't. President says one thing. A spokesperson says another. The State Department says one thing. The Attorney General says something else. Everybody's saying whatever the hell they want to say, but it doesn't matter. You can't say anything. We got a black Attorney General and a black president. If you're going to criticize them, but you're a racist. The interview was part of a series of television appearances for Mr. Earnest on Thursday and Friday, today, after this president stumbled and said, we don't have a strategy yet. Earnest insisted Obama actually had a comprehensive strategy. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, this is this article. I'm just reading the article, just as it is. The president says we don't have a strategy. The spokesperson comes out and says he has a comprehensive strategy. Now, why don't you think if the president actually had a comprehensive strategy, he would come out and say, I've got a comprehensive strategy? I mean,
I mean, am I the only one that's confused with this crap? Am I the only one who's not getting this stuff? He just said he doesn't have a strategy, and then you've got the spokesperson come out and says he has a comprehensive strategy. What is his comprehensive strategy? To do what? Golf? Fundraise? Is that your comprehensive strategy? What does that mean, comprehensive? Why do they use that word comprehensive all the time? Comprehensive immigration reform. They like to use that word comprehensive. They think that means like it's really big. Pile of bull. That's what it is. It's not comprehensive. These people don't comprehend. On MSNBC's Morning Joe program, Ernest was again pressed with the war question. Does the president agree with columnist Eugene Robinson, which Eugene Robinson, I mean, what, this guy is a joke. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is, he's a joke. I mean, he's a joke. He comes on MSNBC when they don't have anybody else. And they need somebody to fill a billet, so they bring him on. He's a columnist. He's a left-wing liberal wacko loony bird. His columns suck. I'm sorry, Gene Robinson, but I've read your columns. You're not a very good writer. I'm sorry. I'm going to be the first one to let you to tell you the truth. Okay? Could you give up your typewriter, please? You're not a good writer. And I know what good writing is because I'm a writer myself. So I can criticize you. You are not a good writer. You are horrible. None of these liberals are good writers. None of them. And they all think that they're great and wonderful. They're not. They're not. Read their articles. Don't take my word for it. Pick up a frickin' newspaper once in a while and read the son of a bitch. You tell me. Does the president agree with Eugene Robinson that we are, in fact, at war with ISIS, even though it's not a declared war? And this is the only time I think I've ever agreed with Gene Robinson. I think one of the only times. Some liberals are starting to wake up. Why they're waking up, I'm not sure. There's something devious about why they're trying to wake up, so I don't trust it. I don't trust liberals for nothing. Doesn't matter what they are. If they say something that I'm agreeable with, if they say one thing that I agree with, there's a reason why they're saying it, and I don't know. It's a devious reason, whatever the reason is. Whatever that reason is, I don't know, but I don't trust it. But I do agree, yeah, we are in fact at war with ISIS, even though it's not a declared war. We have to be. They're at war with us. We don't have a choice. We are at war with them. Well, Ernest maintained that the U.S. was simply trying to, again, we're trying to just mitigate the threat. I guess that's a new buzz phrase. We're trying to mitigate the threat. No, we're Americans. We don't mitigate anything. We end it. We don't mitigate the threat. We end the threat. What the hell does that mean, mitigate the threat? Why would you want to mitigate a threat? It doesn't make any sense. It's still a threat. It's not a big threat, but it's a small threat. A threat is a threat is a threat is a threat. Big or small, it's still a threat. That doesn't even make any sense. Why would they even say that? Am I supposed to be impressed by this? Am I supposed to think, oh, well, the president, well, they're trying to mitigate the threat. I guess they're doing a good job. Huh? We're America. We don't mitigate the threat. We end the threat. And then he goes on to say, I think what the president would say is it's very important that we take the necessary steps to mitigate the threat that ISIL poses to the United States of America. Again, the ISIL. What does that mean? Why do they say ISIL and everybody else says ISIS? Something tells me by calling them ISIL might have a little bit, it's supposed to be more respectful. Well, why do we respect these people? We shouldn't show them any respect at all. None. What respect did they show us? Huh? And what's going to happen when this JV team attacks us? What's going to happen? You think for 1 second they're not here? They're here. They're here. I've also got another report. They're actually in Mexico right now from Judicial Watch. And they're planning an attack. There is all kinds of chatter going on. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. But if you're anywhere in New York City on September 11th, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying for 100% certain because I don't know. But there is a lot of chatter. I'm one of these kinds of guys that you got to take a threat serious. And if you don't take the threat serious, that's when it gets you. Well, too many times the American people, we don't want to take the threat serious. And then what happens? Well, we get into trouble and then we wonder, well, what happened? Let's sue somebody. That's all it's about. Let's sue somebody. Well, no, pay attention and you won't have to get sued. You won't have to get hurt. The U.S. intelligence community has observed a significant increase in chatter among terrorist organizations as the 13th anniversary of September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks nears. That's right. A U.S. government official speaking on condition of anonymity. Of course, everybody's got to speak on condition of anonymity. God forbid if somebody was to come out and actually just tell the truth to the American people. We can't have that. Well, why? Well, somebody might get exposed. Huh? We've noticed a significant increase in chatter among Islamic terrorist organizations overseas, both on the internet and the phone lines. That's coming from a government official speaking on condition of anonymity. So I'd like to know how these people, if they're supposed to not say anything, why do they always say stuff? Why do you always get these reporters who say this stuff? Well, it's condition of anonymity. Well, if they're not supposed to talk, why are they talking? Now, when I was in the Navy, we were going to the Persian Gulf. We weren't allowed to write home and tell our family where we were going and what we were doing. We weren't allowed to tell them where we were going and when we were leaving. Obviously, we didn't want anybody to find out where our ship was going and when we were leaving so we would not get attacked. There's reasons why people are not allowed to say certain things. What I don't like is, why do they say stuff if they're not supposed to say it? This is the kind of crap that drives me nuts. And why would they not say this stuff? Why would the American people, well, this should have been coming from the president. The president should have come out and said, you know what? We've got a lot of significant chatter going on here. There's a significant threat by ISIS. I'm warning the entire country of America to be on the lookout. You see something, you hear something, you do something. But did he know? He says, oh, I don't have a strategy. Well, goodbye, I got to go to a fundraiser. I got to golf. With the intelligence community, or while the intelligence community cannot pinpoint whether or not an attack is planned, come on. You know, they've always got attack planned. The official said the agencies did not see this kind of increase or did see this kind of increase in chatter before September 11th. So what's going on right now is exactly what happened on September 11th. So I think we need to take September 11th seriously. We need to take it seriously. There's going to be a lot of people that won't. A lot of people that won't. Hey, look, if nothing happens, nothing happens. Okay, fine. Good. Nothing happens. Great. That's wonderful. But do you trust it? I don't. And I live in New York. And I was actually kind of scared to death to go to the Yankee game last week. And I love going into New York City. I love New York City. I love that city. I love that city. I love that city. I love that city. The greatest city in the world. The greatest city in the world. I'm still not very pleased with the way we handled our attack on 9/11. I'm still not pleased. I like George Bush, don't get me wrong. I think he did a lot of bad things. He did a lot of stupid things. Well, give me a president that doesn't do stupid things. They all do stupid things. But I do believe, in my heart of hearts, I do believe that President George W. Bush was thinking of the country first before he thought of himself. I really do believe that. What the problem with it is I do believe that, well, you know, a president is only good as his advisors. This president, I don't think he's got any advisors except for who? Valerie Goebbels? She's obviously not a very good advisor, Mr. President. You think maybe you could fire her, please? Please? Deciphering chatter is more difficult than in previous years because of the rise of ISIS, which threatens to drain Al-Qaeda of resources. Well, this whole notion that Al-Qaeda got rid of ISIS because they were too violent, that's a stupid thing to say. That's ignorance, and that's ridiculous, and it's asinine. They did not get rid of ISIS because they were too violent. They got rid of ISIS because they wanted to be the top dog. They wanted to be in control. Well, Al-Qaeda right now is being drained by ISIS. ISIS has taken over. Al-Qaeda is not making any more money. Al-Qaeda is going away. ISIS is, they're the top dog right now. These people are making over $2 million a day. A day. A day. They're getting weapons. They're confiscating weapons from Syria bases. They've got planes. They've got everything they need. The only thing they need now is their top scientist who is in Guantanamo Bay. They've got a scientist there in Guantanamo Bay. Well, they want him released. Why do you think they want him released? Well, they want a bomb. Doesn't necessarily have to be a nuclear bomb, but they want a bomb. They want a big bomb, a really big bomb, and they want to use it. What scares the living hell out of me is this president is going to release this guy at some point. I just have that feeling. I just have that feeling that he is going to release this guy. And what happens when they – well, it's only a matter of time before, boom, a big old bomb is going to be sent. And it could very well be sent to the United States. I don't care where it's sent. It's going to blow up on planet Earth and a lot of people are going to die. And it will be because our president released this scientist. Look, these people, when you got enough money, you can buy anything, even if they don't get this scientist out of Guantanamo Bay. They can buy another scientist. At $2 million a day, these people can buy a scientist. Very easily. And don't think for one second that they aren't looking. These people are a big threat. We mitigate the threat. We put an end to the threat. What does that even mean, mitigate? 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 Threat? How do you mitigate? What does that even mean? I mean, think about it. What does that mean? There's only one way to get rid of a threat, and that's to end it. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to actually physically go to war with them. We're going to have to do more than just, a couple of bombs. We're going to have to blow up people. I know, I hate that. I hate talking about killing people. I hate that. I want to get that out of my head. I don't want to have to talk about killing people. I really don't. I'm sick and freaking tired of it. But we're working for it. We're asking it. We've already been attacked once. Do we really need to be attacked again? The next 9/11 could be even bigger. We already lost 3,000 people. Now we're going to lose more? For what? Because we're too afraid to stand up to these people? We're America. We stand up to tyranny. At least we used to. But I guess we can't do any of that anymore. I guess that's racist. Well, I find America could be more just as much of a threat as ISIS to this country. ISIS is trying to destroy this country from the outside, and liberalism is trying to destroy this country from within the inside. It doesn't matter whether you're outside or inside. You destroy the country, you're destroying the country. Whether from the outside or it doesn't matter. We've got to put an end to this mindset in this country. We've got to put an end to this mindset that we can't be sympathetic to our enemies. This mindset, if we're sympathetic to our enemies, that they won't attack us, is not going to work. They don't care if we're sympathetic to them. They don't care how many Facebook posts you put up on how sympathetic you are towards them. They don't care. You're not them, which means you get your head cut off. They don't care how sympathetic you are to them. They don't care. And that's the problem. There's too many people in this country that think that this is the way to end violence, is to be nice to your enemies. Just be nice to your enemy, then they won't attack us, and everybody will be peaceful. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Really? Is that how that works? Okay. Idiot. Former CIA case officer Brian Fairchild said the threat is twofold because ISIS is in war with core Al-Qaeda. So now you've got Al-Qaeda and ISIS at war with each other. That's because they both want to be the top dog. That's all that is. Chicago's WGN network recently reported that a tweet, here we are with the tweets, from the terror group on June 20 includes a picture taken on Michigan Avenue. The tweet reads, "Soldiers of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria will pass from here soon." Oh no! ISIS isn't a threat in the homeland. All these colonels and military pundits now they got on Fox News. Oh no, ISIS isn't a threat in the United States. Really? They're here. They are a threat. It's your ignorance. Your ignorance is just as much of a threat as them. I'm sorry, but ignorance is a threat. Ignorance is dangerous. Naivete. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. And now we, as the American people, we got to put up with this? Well, Judicial Watch is claiming that there is a terror group operating on the Mexican border, planning to attack the United States with car bombs or other vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices. Don't think for one second that that's not true. I would love for it to not happen. If it doesn't happen, great. Hey, super. Love it. Great news. We do not have a secure border. And Mexico could care less about the United States. As far as Mexico is concerned, they would love to take over the United States. And if ISIS comes over here and attacks the United States, Mexico is happy. They don't care. And that Governor Jerry Brown is going to bring over the new president of Mexico, President Nieto. They're buddy buddies. Oh, yeah, you Mexicans, come on over here. Break our laws. Now, first of all, if we had a real attorney general in this country and you had a governor who said, who's promoting to the foreign president, promoting that he sends his people across illegally. General, first of all, people of California, somebody in California should have risen up and done something about this governor for doing this. We don't do this, but we don't have a real attorney general. We've got, I mean, who's in charge of this country anymore? Who? What is running this country? That's more like it. We know we don't have to, but what is the what? And for what? I don't know what that the gain is. I'm still trying to figure out what this gain is. There's a lot of people who want to take this country over. Obama, he wants to take over the country. They want to take over. Putin, they want to take over. China, they want to take over. How about the American people? When do we want to take over America again? Why don't we do that? Why doesn't the American people rise up and take their country back? Well, we can. We just don't do it. Why? I don't know. Lazy? Are you tired? Huh? You sleepy? Huh? It's too much for you? Too much? You got to work? Huh? Oh, that's right. Kim Kardashian's on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your program. Here's a bag of Cheetos on me. Across a number of Homeland Security. Homeland Security. I'm just sick of this crap. I'm just sick of it. Justice and defense agencies have all been placed. First of all, Homeland Security and defense agencies, they should always be on alert. Period. What does that mean, they're on alert? It's not Homeland Security. Homeland Security should always be on alert. I'm sick of this stupid story. The bottom line is this, America. They are here. They will attack. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. So if you see something, that's fishy, you take a second look. Don't just assume that it's bad. Don't just assume that it's good. You take a second look. And if it's bad, then you say something, you do something about it. We can no longer put up with this crap. We can't put up with it from our enemies, and we certainly can't put up with it from our government anymore. And it's sad to say, but our government is just as much of an enemy. They're destroying us from outside. Our government and liberalism, this whole whatever you want to call it, you can call it any kind of ism that you want to, they're destroying us from the inside. So we're getting a double dose here, man. We're getting it from the inside, and we're getting it from the outside. Now, that's okay. We can still fight them. We can still fight this. We can still defeat this. We can still prevail. We can still win. But we have to have it in here, in our hearts, in our minds. If we don't have it in our minds, we don't have it in our hearts, no, we can't do anything. We have to first accept the fact that there are bad people, and we have to stand up, and it's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be fearful. But it's not okay to be a coward and run away. It's okay to stand up and fight with fear. I've been in positions, I swear to God, in the Persian Gulf, silkworm missiles locked on us. You want to talk about fear, man. That fear of the unknown, that fear, if that missile was to hit, we'd be dead. Boom. That fear. You can't explain that fear. You cannot put that fear in words. And those Marines in those ditches, they got people firing at you. You can't put that in words. That's not something you can put in words. You can't put that in words. Fear is fear. It's okay to be fearful, but it's not okay to run away from your fear. Running away from your fear, that makes you a coward. It's not okay to do that. It's okay to be fearful. You can stand up and fight the most fear you've ever had in your life. And you would be surprised that fear is the greatest motivator in the world. If you've never been in that kind of fear before, you have no idea. But let me tell you, fear is an incredible motivator, probably the biggest motivator on planet Earth. And it's okay to be fearful. You can be fearful. But it's not okay to run away from that fear, to be a coward, to run away. It's not okay to do that. You stand up with that fear. You'd be surprised what that fear can do to you. That fear can take away. But you have to let it. And it's okay. It's okay to be fearful. It's not okay to be a coward. But what do we have in our government?
We don't have a strategy yet. I don't know what to do. I was on the golf course all day, and I just couldn't. I don't know what to do. But okay, I got to go. I got to go to fundraisers. I got to go to dinners.
Now, this is another thing here. This is something here that this is what, this is, again, another problem that we have in this country. And this is a big problem. And this is from within our government. And this is why people, this is what people don't understand, and they don't get it. The most recent national threat assessment for domestic terrorism makes no reference, to Islamic terror threats. Imagine that. The FBI's most recent national threat assessment. The most recent national threat assessment for domestic terrorism makes no reference to Islamic terror threats. None. None. Huh. I'm wondering if the FBI has been paying attention for the last 13 years. I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, it just seems to me that, I mean, is anybody in the FBI, I mean, are you guys really, really, you know, that asleep? Does anybody come to work anymore? I don't buy that to be true, FBI. I think you're a lot smarter than that. I think this administration told you what to say, and you said it without arguing. That's a coward. Again, a coward. They are in fear of their job. Again, I've told you this a million times. If you're afraid to lose your job, you don't deserve your job. Just do your job. FBI, you should be better than this. The internal FBI intelligence report concluded in its 2013 assessment, published this month, that the threat to the United States internal security from extremists is limited to attacks and activities by 8 types of domestic extremist movements. 8. But none of them are from Islam. None of them. Guess where they're from? Take a guess. That's right. That's right. The anti-government militia groups. You know those guys that were out there trying to protect Cliven Bundy? Remember him? Well, that's a threat. Not Al-Qaeda. Not ISIS. Not Islamic terrorism. Not all these radical Islamists that are already in the country, not all these radical Islamists that are in Mexico on their way to the United States, not them, but those people that went out and protected a rancher from being attacked by the government, cows eating grass. That's the extremist. That's a terror threat in this country. What are you kidding me, FBI? White supremacy extremists? I mean, white supremacists? I mean, seriously. I mean, really. I mean, white supremacy? Do we really have a big white supremacy problem in this country? Yeah, we've got white supremacists. But how often do you hear about all these white supremacy people in this country? When was the last time you heard a white supremacist who murdered somebody? When was it? We don't hear that. You've got black supremacists. You've got white supremacists. You've got any kind of color supremacist, whatever it is. But they got to blame the white man. It's all the white man. Everything's a white man's fault. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what they call sovereign citizen nationalists. Imagine that, sovereign citizen. Well, if you believe in sovereignty, which I do, I believe in being sovereign, not only within me, but within this country. I believe in individual sovereignty, and I believe in national sovereignty. Now, is that terrorism? Well, according to the FBI, I'm a freaking terrorist. So what am I supposed to do now? Turn myself in? I believe in sovereignty? Huh? Other domestic groups outlined by the FBI assessment included violent animal rights and environmental extremists. Okay, I mean... black separatists, which is your Black Panthers and your blah, 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 you know, your Louis Farrakhan and all those guys, your pro-abortion activists, your Puerto Rican nationalists. I mean, these are, okay, these people, okay, they're not very, I wouldn't consider them very good people. Okay, but I don't consider these people anywhere near of a threat as I do radical Islam. Not even close. Not even close. The Black Panthers, the animal rights and environmentalist extremists, the pro-abortion extremists, the Puerto Rican nationalists, the sovereign citizen nationalists, the anti-government militia groups. Okay, they may not be all that good of people, but I don't see them as being a threat than ISIS, Al-Qaeda, radical Islam. I don't see that being a bigger threat. Where? When was the last time? I mean, seriously. Since when do we have such a big to-do with all these groups? They're not out killing people. I mean, what are they talking about? Why are they so afraid to label Islam as a threat? Why? Because they want to be nice to them so Islam doesn't attack us? They could care less if we're nice to them or not. They're going to attack us anyway. What the hell difference does it make? Domestic extremist violence continues to be unpredictable and higher, this report says. Really? Well, any kind of domestic violence is always unpredictable. That's number one. But at times severe, I mean, that's at times severe. I mean, what the hell does that mean? Well, try to make it sound like it's imminent when it's not. ISIS is imminent. Islamic terrorism is imminent. And now we have the Obama administration. Now they want to sue a Minnesota town. Guess why? Guess why? Well, it turns out that the city council would not approve this Islamic religious center, which I say, hey, good for you. You got my applause. Good for you. It's about time somebody's standing up. Well, if you stand up for what is right, if you stand up for America, guess what happens? You now get sued. Imagine that. Standing up for American values and the American way of life, you're now going to get sued. Well, this town realized, hey, wait a minute. You know what? This radical Islam, you know, these religious centers, if these religious centers, you know, I mean, if they were real religious centers rather than, you know, terrorist headquarters, nobody would have a problem. But we cannot trust this Islam anymore. We can't trust them. And it's sad, and it really is, because I've met a lot of Muslims in my life, and I have. I've met them over there, and I've met them over here. They've invited me into their homes over there, and they have invited me into their homes over here. So I do know the difference between the two. I do know the I know it. Not think it, but know it. I've met them. I know them. Personally, I know them. But there is a difference between radical Islam and Islam. And anymore, I mean, even the regular Islam, they are fear right now. So they're just going along with the radical Islam so they don't get their head cut off. And that's the point of this radical Islam, is to put fear in people. That's their point, and they're succeeding. Well, there's only one way to stand up to a bully, and these people are bullies. You got to stand up. Punch the son of a bitch back in the nose. Once he realizes that you're not going to allow him to walk all over you, he's not going to walk all over you anymore. We have to stand up to the bully. But what do? We sue the victim. This is what our country is doing. Don't you have anything better to do, Attorney General? Huh? Than to sue a Minnesota town because they wouldn't allow this mosque, this Islamic center? Which you know damn good and well is going to be nothing more than a terrorist headquarters. I mean, this is ridiculous. If the town doesn't want it, the town shouldn't have it. Well, it can't be offensive to them. But it can be offensive to Christians. But it can't be offensive to Muslims. I don't get it. I don't get it. I understand. Help me out. Somebody, help me out with this crap. Well, I'll tell you what it is. This president is sympathetic towards this radical Islam. Now, it's because he's fearful that he doesn't want to get his head cut off, or is it that he actually genuinely believes in this? And Eric Holder, I mean, I don't know what all this guy believes in. I really don't. Anything that's bad, this guy is right there. Boy, he's going to defend it. I don't know what the hell's going on with this country. I don't know where this country is anymore. I want it back. I want her back. I want her back. I can't wait anymore with this crap. And now we got Muslim groups are demanding mandatory retraining all federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies who may have learned the truth about jihad. So if you say jihad, well, that's a crime now. Now that's offensive. So we got to retrain our law enforcement so they're more sympathetic towards jihad. We got the FBI. They're afraid to put radical Islam as a threat to America. But the Tea Party, the Black Panthers, those are the threats. No, they're not the threats. Now, the Black Panther, are they a threat? Do they do bad things? Yeah. But are they anywhere comparable to radical Islam? Not yet. Not yet. But we can't say that they are. Radical Islam is our biggest threat. They are here. They are threatening from within and from without. On the outside, on the inside, and everywhere in between. But we can't say anything about that. If you say anything about radical Islam, well, then you're obviously a racist. A xenophobe or whatever they call it. I mean, it's stuff with the phobes. If people would learn what the word phobia means, they wouldn't use it so often. I'm sick and tired of that word phobe and phobia. Shut up. Islamic activists that strong-armed the FBI to purge anti-terrorism training material considered offensive. Offensive? Training material considered offensive. Muslims have made their next wave of demands. Wait a minute. Here Muslims are. They're reading the FBI training manuals. And the law enforcement training manuals, and they get offensive. So now law enforcement, all law enforcement, state, local, and federal governments have to retrain everybody so you don't offend a Muslim. I mean, excuse me, Mr. President, but can you not see that these people are at war with us? Not only are they out to kill us, but they're out to destroy our way of life, our quality of life. They're to destroy our culture. This is our culture. If you don't understand the American culture, okay, you need to leave. You don't like the American culture, you have to leave. If you want to learn it, fine. We'll teach it to you. We'll allow you to stay. If you're going to criticize it, you're going to try to destroy it. And if you don't like it, you got no business being here. Now, there's a lot of cultures, and I've visited a lot of countries. There's a lot of cultures that I would not personally live in, and I could not live in those cultures. And I could not accept it. I could not go along with it. So I don't live there. I find a place where I do like to live. It's called the United States of America. Why? Well, we used to have a thing. It was called the United States Constitution. And I'm holding the last remaining document in my hand. The government hasn't taken this one yet. They haven't taken this one away yet. They can't get it. I won't give it to them. They're going to have to pry this Constitution out of my cold, dead hands. And even then, it's going to be a challenge because I'm going to hold on to it. I don't care how dead I am. I'm going to hold on to it. But we have a Constitution, and in this Constitution, there's a whole bunch of stuff called freedom. This is our way of life. I don't care if you don't like our way of life. That's fine. No, you don't have to. Our way of life. I'm not trying to change your way of life. So why are you coming over here trying to change mine? Oh, because we offend you? Because we put up a sign that says, stop for bacon? So in the whole country, we have to stop eating bacon now? I don't stop eating bacon. I love bacon. I refuse to stop eating bacon. I refuse. I refuse to change one iota, my way of life. My way of life is my way of life. I will not change for anybody. Why should I? Why should you? Why should any of us? Why should we change our way of life for them? Are they going to change their way of life for us? Hell no. And why should they? Nobody should. Your way of life is your way of life. Their way of life is their way of life. But when you're using your way of life to attack my way of life, yeah, I got to stand up. I got to say something. I got to fight your way. I got to try to change your way, but I defend my way. And that's what's missing in this country. We are afraid to stand up and defend our way of life, and I don't understand why. What is wrong with standing up and defending freedom? It's freedom. It's freedom. Freedom is freedom. I don't get it. I don't understand what people have to be afraid of freedom for. Why? Well, because you might have to be accountable. You might have to be responsible. See, if you don't have freedom, then you take away all the responsibility and all the accountability. Well, hey, look, I mean, the government told me what to do. I did it, and it was a mistake. It's not my fault. It's the government's fault. Let the government take the blame for it. But if you do something, you have to take responsibility for that because you did it. The government didn't tell you to do it. You told them to do it, and people don't want that. Well, I do. I want that responsibility. I don't care if I make a mistake or not. I make a mistake. Hey, look, it's a win-win situation when you make a mistake. You know why? Well, because if you make a mistake, what happens? Well, you learn how to do it right. So you win. Doesn't matter which way you go. But I want to be held accountable for me. I don't want anybody held accountable for me. And I'm certainly not going to be held accountable for somebody else. I like my freedom. I'm sorry, I'm just one of these kinds of guys. I know I'm weird. I'm crazy. I'm a whack job. I like freedom. Oh, my God, there I go again with that F word. Oh, my God. Got to put a penny in the cuss jar now. Can't stop saying the F word. F word, F word, F word. That's right. Freedom, freedom, freedom. I'm not afraid to stand up and fight for it. We shouldn't have to fight for it. We already did. We fought enough wars to get our freedom. We shouldn't have to fight for it, but you know what? That's not reality. We have been fighting for freedom ever since we got it. Now, if we're going to have to get our freedom back, which as far as I'm concerned, there's only one other choice. We're going to have to get our freedom back. Because I flat refuse to live in a tyrannical rule. I'm not going to do it. I flat refuse, and I won't do it. I will not comply. I will not comply with my world order. I will not comply with this tyrannical government. I will not comply with any of this crap. But if we are truly going to get back to a representative Republican, a representative republic, a Republican form of government, which is guaranteed in our Constitution, by the way, if we're going to get back to this, we're going to get back to running our country under a Constitution, our Constitution. If we are going to get our freedom back, we are going to have to get more angry than we've ever been. And we are going to have to fight harder than we've ever fought. I don't like that. No one likes to talk about it. But that's the reality. Look, I don't know how to sugarcoat anything. I just simply don't have the skills to sugarcoat. I just don't know how to do it. God did bless me with those skills. When he made me, he said, this bastard, no, he's not going to get any of those skills at all. He's not going to get any sugarcoating skills at all whatsoever. I'm going to take those out. He gets nothing. That's right. I don't know how to sugarcoat it. The truth is the truth. If we are going to get our freedom back, if we are going to start running our country as the way we were designed to run our country, we are going to have to get angry, angrier than we've ever been. And we are going to have to fight, and I mean fight harder than we've ever fought. There's no other way possible. No other way. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to fight anybody. I don't want to have to kill anybody. I don't want to have to attack anybody. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to have to fight anybody. I don't even want to have to be on this frickin' radio program every night. I shouldn't have to be here. I've got better stuff to do in my life than get on here and bitch, piss, and moan. But I have to do it. I have to do this. Look, this stuff is coming from me. And I got to get this stuff out. And I cannot stand by and just say, oh, well, it's okay. Don't get excited. Just let it go. I hate people like that. I can't stand, oh, calm down. I can't stand people who say calm down. Calm down? We're losing our freedom here. We're losing our culture, our way of life. We're losing our lives. We're losing our country. And I'm supposed to calm down? It's going to be all right? No, it's not going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. It's going to be all right when we get our freedom back. But we don't have it back yet. But to calm down and relax? Oh, it's not a big deal. No, it's never a big deal. Yeah. Well, it's a big deal to me. And if I'm the only one who feels this way, then so be it. I don't care. I started this program to speak for me. I don't speak for anybody. I speak for me. I don't speak for anybody. I speak as people, maybe, perhaps. I know there's some people that agree with me, and there's a lot of people that don't. I don't care. But I got to speak me. I got to speak from me. I can't speak from you. I speak your words. You can't speak my words. You have to be able to stand up and speak for yourself. And if you piss somebody off, what? Don't apologize for pissing somebody off. Apologize for not pissing them off. Apologize for not standing up and defending your rights, defending the rights of every American. Just like that I can't leave that Sneakers Bistro in Vermont alone. They were afraid to stand up for America, afraid to stand up for their rights, afraid to stand up for all the rights of American citizens, afraid to stand up for American culture, American way of life. They were afraid. That's called a coward. I have no respect and no regard for cowards, period. End of story. I cannot respect cowardice. I cannot and will not ever do it. And neither should you. Neither should anybody. I know it's hard to stand up and you have to punch the bully in the nose. Well, look, I'm sorry, but at times in life, you have to do things that you've never done before. Things that you never thought that you could possibly ever do. But if you want that end result, you're going to have to do things that you've never done before. Things that you never even thought even existed before that you could ever possibly do. You're going to have to do it. And we've all done things like that before. We've done it before. Well, we can do it again. But we have to do it. Again, we haven't hit rock bottom yet, and that's a shame. I've hit rock bottom a long time ago. I'm done. But the majority of this country hasn't hit rock bottom yet. We're not angry enough yet. We're not going to get our freedom back until we get angry. We need to hit rock bottom. We need to hit it now. We need to get going. Because I don't have any more patience. I want my freedom back. I want my culture back. I want my way of life back. I want to be the superpower again. I want America to be the superpower of the world, where people feared us and they respected us. And they wanted to come over here for the right reasons. They wanted to come over here because we had freedom. They wanted to come over here because we have freedom. They wanted to come over here because they want to be a part of it. They want a part of freedom. That's why we're all over here. My family came over here in the early 20th century because they were persecuted over in Europe from the Cossacks. They came over here because they wanted freedom. And I am so glad that they did. I cannot tell you I'm so glad they did. And I remember as a little kid, I told my aunt, Aunt Eva, and she came over. She came over as a teenager. And I said, thank you. I remember that, and I still didn't even know what I was really even talking about. I was a kid. I think I was, what, 7, 8? And I've always remembered that, and I told her, I said, thank you for coming over here. I knew that at 7 years old, I knew this stuff. I mean, we got people that are, I mean, they don't understand that anymore because they don't teach it in school. The educators aren't educated. How in the hell can an educator educate when they're not educated themselves? Well, they can't. And they don't. And all they do is end up making more so-called educators. Well, they're not educators, they're indoctrinators. Well, there's a big difference. Well, I can't be indoctrinated. You can't brainwash me. It's impossible. It is impossible. I'm just one of those kinds of guys that you're going to tell me something, I need to see the proof. You tell me the sky is blue, I'm going to go outside. If that sky is any other color than blue, I'm going to come back to you and demand an explanation. That's me. I'm not, you've got to change away your life and you've got to become me. I'm just telling you who I am. You cannot indoctrinate me. You can't. It's very difficult to influence me. It really is. Things that influence me are reality, truth, integrity, bravery. That's where I'm coming from. And that's what I want to see back in this country. I want to see people standing up for who America is and not being afraid to do so, not being afraid to fly our flag, not being afraid. We're America, land of the free, home of the brave. We're not brave anymore, and we're not free anymore. We can be. We can get there again, but we're going to have to hit rock bottom. We're angry. We're going to have to stand up, and we're going to have to no longer be patient and tolerant for things that we should not be patient and tolerant for. And I want to thank everybody tonight for listening to the program. I know Flycatch was here. I got Dr. Miola. Thank you very much for listening. Hey, look, if you like this show, tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your enemies. Tell them to join the fun. Tell them to join America's Freedom Ship. And I hope everybody has a great weekend. I hope it's safe. And I hope it's fun for you, relaxing. And we'll see you back here Monday night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.